Janine Basinger is the chair of film studies at Wesleyan University and curator of the cinema archives there. Basinger's written 10 books on film, including her latest, The Star Machine. It explores how the movie studios manufactured stars from the 1930s to the 1950s. Janine Basinger told Anne Strainchamps how the Star Machine transformed Tyrone Power.
First of all, Tyrone Power came from a very respected and successful theatrical family. His father, Tyrone Power Sr., was a distinguished actor, and he grew up around theater. So he was not, you know, somebody plucked out of a gas station, you know? I mean, he wasn't somebody drove up to get gas and said, whoa, this guy is cute. You know, he's a different kettle of fish. But he was an extremely beautiful young man, very good looking. And he also had a lovely voice that could be well recorded. When he first came out to Hollywood, he didn't quite catch on. It didn't quite work. And in a screen test that he had made, Daryl Zanuck's wife allegedly said, you know, you have to pluck his eyebrows. You have to pluck his eyebrows. Presumably, a pair of tweezers made all the difference in his life. But, you know, when you think about the camera coming in close on someone, eyebrows can make a difference between somebody looking like a villain and somebody looking gorgeous. And he really was gorgeous. The minute they started putting him in a tuxedo and into a minor film to be amongst the beautiful women that they were developing, he looked right.
Oh, you have a funny story about it. I think one of the first films like that he did. He has a single line. He just walks up to the girl and says, yes, may I have this dance? And,
yes.
And everyone in the audience said, yes.
Yes, exactly. And they all started writing in and saying, who's the guy in the tuxedo and when do we see him again? They definitely were going to give him the dance. And in fact, they did give him the dance. He was a top box office star. And he really was one of Hollywood's most beautiful leading men. The tragedy for him is he really was a fine actor, and he understood good acting, but Hollywood understood his beauty. And although he always gave good performances, he wanted to be taken seriously. He wanted serious roles. Hollywood preferred to put him in a tuxedo and let him be a leading man in a romantic comedy or a swashbuckling drama. So for him, the system became ultimately stultifying, a kind of limitation, although he did get serious roles, of course.
Mm. You write that at his peak in some of the films that were really vehicles for him, the camera used to linger on Tyrone Power in a way usually reserved for female stars.
It's sometimes, I think, forgotten that men were subjected to the same kind of ogling camera angles and shots that women were. Men also had to pose for their equivalent of cheesecake photos, known as beefcake photos. Men had to get in bathing suits and pose on diving boards. Men had to, you know, be lingered over. And the thing is, because Hollywood was selling both male and female glamour, it was selling sex objects, both male and female. And Tyrone Power is a really good example of a really beautiful young man. No matter who was his leading lady, he was probably the most beautiful person in the frame. He would lean back on pillows and the camera hover over him in real close-ups. Sometimes he would just be sitting at a table in a nightclub, smoking, watching the dancing, and the camera would just sit there and look at him.
Do you have a favorite Tyrone Power film and scene?
I'm really fond of a serious role he played later, Witness for the Prosecution, a Billy Wilder film. He's terrific in that.
What are you looking for?
My accordion.
Oh, well, let me help you. I think I found it.
Step on it again, it's still breathing.
I'm terribly sorry.
You better get out of here. We've had trouble enough.
Well, actually, it's your own fault. That costume in the picture outside gave the boys ideas, and then those trousers of yours let them down hard.
What's his best scene in that film?
It's the one where he finally reveals who he truly is. It's a secret. If I give it away, I'll ruin the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. It's the last scene, folks.
The management of this theater suggests that for the greater entertainment of your friends who have not yet seen the picture, you will not divulge to anyone the secret of the ending of Witness for the Prosecution.
What about some of the big female stars? How did the star system treat them? Lana Turner, for instance, who was at one point romantically involved with Tyrone Power. How did the star machine treat her?
Well, Lana Turner is just a great example of typical, well, untypical, because she's too glamorous to be ever called typical. Lana Turner couldn't be typical anything, but she is an example of a star created by the system. And her legend is sort of the one that is basic and fundamental to people's mythology of stardom, discovered sitting on a soda fountain stool, you know, that kind of thing. That is her story. Of course, it's not exactly true, but that's what makes it all the better. But she really, of course, came into it so young without much education, and she grew up in the glamour factory. Didn't have a chance to get a lot of education or learn how to take care of herself. She was out there nightclubbing, having a good time, and thus life kind of slopped over into her film career. She became notorious, the queen of the nightclubs. And then through a series of kind of sad and tragic cases, namely the murder of one of her lovers or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if you call it a murder. When her daughter stabbed one of her lovers in what she felt was defending her mother, Lana Turner became notorious and got locked into a kind of image that was limiting for her.
A sort of bad girl image, but then that became part of her role on screen too, right?
Her private life began to define her persona. Most stars have their personas defined by the roles they play on screen, and people decide that's who they are. As Cary Grant famously said, everybody wants to be Cary Grant. I would like to be Cary Grant, meaning this very calm, very self-confident, fabulous image that he had honed wasn't who he really was in private life. Who Lana Turner was in private life, the sort of queen of the nightclubs with many lovers and a kind of wild life, sexy life, began to inform who she could play on screen, because that's how people saw her. As her career advanced, it started to move into the time where stars were less protected in their private lives than they were during the heyday of the system. So people began to know who the stars were off screen, in a way that was not controlled by the publicity machine. So she kind of came into a more modern era where, you know, you couldn't hide things anymore in quite the same way.
Did the studio executives decide consciously to take advantage of her bad girl persona in real life and to use that on screen?
I think that they were stuck. I think that yes, yes, and no. I think that they made an attempt when they put her in a couple of musicals to do something a little bit different with her, but they were aware that the public saw her a certain way, and that was the business they were in, selling the product, making the public believe the product was who the role was on screen. So once that element entered in, they worked with it. So she kind of became a real victim of her own fame, her own notoriety. But you know, she lived a long life and she died a wealthy woman. She wasn't found playing bit parts or, you know, living on the dole somewhere. So she did survive it in her own way. Whatever pain she suffered was the pain she suffered, of course.
Is there a definitive Lana Turner performance, one that you think really captures what made her such a great star?
I think that if you look at Lana Turner in The Bad and the Beautiful, a story of a woman who comes into stardom and how that happens. You are looking at the definitive Lana Turner performances. That one, she plays a movie star, and that is a role she understands. She plays a woman who is shaped into stardom, and she understands the process. She understands the challenge. She understands the pressure. That is probably her greatest actual acting screen performance.
Mr. Shields, you have a very stubborn hand.
Very, when I'm right. And I know I'm right about you. I gave you no help. The test was atrocious. But bad as it was, it proved one thing. When you're on the screen, no matter who you're with, what you're doing, the audience is looking at you. That star quality.
Janine Basinger is the author of The Star Machine. She spoke with N. Strange Champs.